Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 904-713-780-3776. You want to participate in the show? What did you think about your Astros last night? I mean, honestly, was that not awesome? Was that not just suspenseful? Was that not living on the edge? It seemed like every pitch, every time a base runner was on, you're like, holy crap. Is this where it's going to implode? And it sure didn't. Lance McCullers putting two on and Blake Taylor coming in and then Graveman coming in and just dominating. And then Ryan Stanek was like, what? A 3-0 game in the ninth? Ryan, I thought we were done with this. I thought we had nice stuff now. And Ryan Stanek came in throwing 100 and inducing the ground ball to win the baseball game. To win the baseball game at Dodger Stadium. The Astros won the class award. They were classy. The Astros won the baseball game. Okay. The Dodgers, losers.
Dodgers lose the class award pretty much every night their fans
okay,
show
less
up at
classy Dodger fan or Yankee fan?
No, Dodger fan.
I think so, too.
Because Dodger fan is violent.
Yeah.
Yankee fans, you know what? I've got some respect for Yankee fans. I will never forget going. I was in Yankee Stadium for the 2015 wild card game, and that wasn't a good Yankee team. There was no love. Like, the city didn't really buy into the Yankees. The Astros ended up beating them. Dallas Keuchel did. But I'll never forget that the energy seemed like it was low around the city headed into it. And as soon as the game started, they were phenomenal. Yelling and cheering as loud as they could for every at-bat. Like, I thought, okay, Yankees fans, they live and die with their Yankees. And I get that they're upset about the Astros. Dodgers fans are just, there's just a group of fans who are extremely dangerous with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
We know they killed before.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened before. We know, was that?
It's a, yeah.
That was Dodger fans against the Giant fan, right?
Yeah, the fireman from San Francisco. And he died. And I think it's,
we saw what happened in the stadium.
Remember,
you saw the video.
Daryl Hamilton told us the most dangerous place is San Francisco. Now, he played for the Giants, but he said,
I think San Francisco is very,
very dangerous.
Look at the Niners fans.
And that's where Rome got battery chuckers, because they'll throw batteries at you in the outfield.
Yeah.
Which is a little dangerous, I think, when one comes whizzing by your head. I would imagine. Yeah, and the Astros had to feel a little bit, you know, during batting practice, baseballs are being thrown at them, which is, those people have to go.
But people have also.
It's a California thing, and I thought they were so peaceful, you know, and love life. And
do those look like a bunch of hippies in the stands?
No, they look like the most volatile. The a Raider fan, Dodger fan
look
Giant
very similar.
Fan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's where is this anger, this pent-up anger? Is it all because of taxation? Do you think hey, you take 50% of my money,
I am
going to come at you.
They've been whipped into a frenzy, too, with the Astro stuff. Like, this is literally, they believe that someone on the Astros needs to die.
Yeah.
Oh, I think there are 100% fans who think, you know what, that would be fair. For you stealing that World Series from us, if we could just take the life of 3 Astros, that would be a fair trade. And 6 fans. No, that's not a fair trade-off. No one's losing their life over this. You guys sucked at home. You had a chance to win in Game 7. Your pitcher tipped his pitches on the at home, too. At home. Your pitcher tipped his pitches, and the Astros ripped him around the yard, and then Charlie Morton wrecked your whole family.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
And Glasnow, your little...
Glasnow.
Your little your little witchiness. Guess what? Now you're on the DL. Guess what?
Well, how does Glass not to do with the Dodgers?
Well, no. But the Astros were accused of stealing from Tampa too.
No. Yeah. They did. Yeah. But Glass now knew that there was a glove.
He was tipping. Yeah.
Yeah. His was a pure tip.
But they still are saying they got ripped off too.
His was a tip. They showed it on TV. Glass now even said, "I held my glove at a different position."
I know. Well. Everybody's got
doubts. Glasnow catching from you.
No.
We're talking Dodgers. You just
put the
ACL in his
arm. But everybody feels like the Astros cheated him. Everybody does.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Too bad.
But nobody feels like the Red Sox didn't cheat him. Okay.
Honestly, that's great. I'm to the point where you just lean into it. Like, great. Yeah. The Astros are like 43-26 or 43-25 against
teams with winning records. But they're probably cheating again.
Great. I hope they are.
Yeah.
I hope the Astros are cheating.
No, not under Pawpaw. They won't
I don't
cheat.
Care.
Pawpaw said he ain't cheating.
I don't care if they're cheating or not cheating anymore. No. This is what you've made me. Yep. Baseball, this is what you've made
me. Well, nobody cheats in baseball anymore.
I've made me somebody who
Remember?
Does. I've become
a
sociopath.
They look at their glove every day. Nobody cheats.
After Lance McCullers struck out,
he went
to
the ump.
He goes, hey, you want to check it?
You want to check?
You want to check it on that
Anybody?
Punch out by Turner?
Anybody?
I just got that redhead wildling, by the way.
Yeah.
Doesn't look as dangerous
no.
now. He's not a wild
With a haircut?
Looks easy to get out.
No.
Ooh, this guy looks easy to get out.
Look at well, how dumb is he cutting his hair?
Stupid.
You think he's like Samson?
It might be. I mean, honestly, he doesn't look nearly as imposing.
I do take offense or maybe oppose an objection to Lance blaming baseball for his lack of morality. I think you've always had
baseball
that in you.
Did it.
No, I think you've always been an immoral
person.
Look
what you did to me, baseball. You turned me into a baseball sociopath.
Yeah.
Look what you did by not opening up that Yankees letter, by not stepping in. Astros could have been killed by balls thrown at them during batting practice, a.k.a. home run derby for the Astros. And look at you. This is why I'm like this now. Way to go, baseball.
I learned it from
Way
watching,
to go, Rob Manfred.
I've learned it from watching you,
learned
baseball.
It from watching you, Dad.
I've learned it from watching you.
That's right.
9-10, let's get Brandon in here. He wants to talk about the Astros, his Astros. What do you say, Brandon?
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
I just wanted to double down. Y'all said a minute ago that San Francisco thing is absolutely the most dangerous place. I mean, you got homeless guys living all over the streets. You're not going to be safe in that city anywhere. the Dodgers thing, I just wanted to say, the one thing I noticed last night watching the game, Cody Bellinger, since he opened up his mouth a while back, is absolutely sucks now. Just wanted to mention karma never loses, and that guy, I don't know what happened to him, but he's kind of worthless now. Y'all take care.
All right, man. He is.
He's 100% worthless now. In 2017, when he was a rookie, when they faced off against the Astros, he had 39 home runs. But karma didn't get him in 2019. In 2019, he had 47 homers and 115 RBIs and, you know, won the MVP.
Well, it seems like ever since the commissioner said there's not going to be any more cheating, Cody Bellinger has really fallen apart.
He was rookie of the year and MVP. So in 17, it's not just since 17 where he fell apart. It was like, okay, well, I guess he's talking about 20 when Cody Bellinger, when Cody Bellinger decided that he was going to speak out and all that stuff, I guess since then, I guess you're right. Since then, 239, 165. He's got a total of. Listen, this is highly suspicious. I'm just gonna say it. I'm not accusing him of using any steroids. I'm not accusing him of cheating. But I do want to mention these numbers: 39 homers, 25 homers, 47 homers. Then his next two years, which has been a grand total. Admittedly, he has not even reached the grand total
since
of that
he got
bat.
Lippy.
Since he got Lippy, he's had 445 plate appearances and has 17 home runs. Now, I will tell you something right now. Back in the day, we used to look at home run totals like 47 and then look at 17 and say, that is really suspicious. How does a guy go from hitting this many home runs to this few home runs? That used to be a very suspicious thing. And all I'm saying is, how does your numbers go that far down? From you win an MVP and now you can't hit anymore?
His OPS this year is 546.
That's lower than Brad Ausmus' territory.
It's lower than two of his years of slugging.
What was our Adam?
Adam Everett.
Adam Everett laughs at you.
For your 546.
It's like, bro, you're 546. I was 665.
Man, Miles Straw is like, wow, what a punch in Judy.
Glenn Barker can't believe what a suck you are.
What a slappy you are. Since his, he was All-Star, MVP,
Hank
Gold
Conger
Glove,
owns you.
Silver Slugger in 2019. And since then, he has been awful.
His on-base percentage is right at about 300. His slugging percentage is under 400 during that time, the last 2 years. This has been an unbelievable fall from grace.
His slugging this year is 284. It's just above. That's what Brad Ausmus, 284. His on-base is 262. His slugging is 284. That's Brad Ausmus' neighborhood.
We used to look at the Ausmus number.
Yeah. Whether or not you could get your slugging over your on-base.
No, you're on-base over your slugging.
Right. No. If your slugging was less than your on-base,
yeah, exactly.
You were Brad Ausmus.
Yeah.
And he's getting in that neighborhood. He's only 22 points higher. His slugging's only 22 points higher than his on-base. That's how bad Cody Bellinger is. You want to know where Trey Turner plays? Where Cody Bellinger doesn't. That's where you play him. Dave Roberts, that's where you play him. But I hate that. I hate that. I want to see Cody Bellinger out there every day.
The magic Brad Ausmus number, the seasons. Oh, you know what? It happened more than once. He did it in 2003.
His on-base was higher than his slugging?
303 and a 291. 291 slugging for Brad Ausmus. He pulled that magic off a few times. It was late 356 and 357 and 98. But Brad Ausmus later in his career, 303, 296. 310, 254. His last year at the Dodgers, he had a 310 on-base percentage, 254 slugging percentage, 564 OPS. Like I said, Brad Ausmus is like, bro, that's like my last year with the Dodgers is what you're doing this year.
Yeah.
Pathetic.
That's awesome. 915 ESPN 97.5. And
but no, keep him in the lineup.
713-780-3776.
Keep him in the lineup for Odorizzi to get a little taste today.
So you and I are huge fans. Pete's Fine Meats. Mm-hmm. Pete's Fine Meats is at 5509 Richmond. It's right there at Chimney Rock in Richmond. It's been there forever. Michael is unbelievable.
Pete is Michael's dad.
Yeah, and Michael has taken it over, and it is the best butcher. It is the best meat. It is the best steaks. He's got bacon wrapped quail. He's got bacon wrapped shrimp he's got it in a little six pack of packages that you take and you use that as an appetizer. He's got the best burgers that you'll ever get.
Oh, the three you have blend, to ask the for the tri-blend burgers that John and Lance get.
Yeah.
He sells
it is,
them.
It is literally the best burger you'll ever have. Literally.
My dad, I gave them to my dad and mom came in town. And they called me from the car like, were those the burgers from Pete's Fine Meats? I told them, I said, yep. I said, oh, my gosh. You don't have to hardly season them. Just a little salt and pepper and that's it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the steak, his selection of steaks is unmatched. They cut it for you right there at the butcher shop. And you know what? He's even got certificates for Kobe beef. Yes, it's expensive, but to find real Kobe beef with a certificate is extremely rare, and a certain professional sports team owner goes and buys his Kobe beef from Pete's Fine Meats as well. So this is a spot for you, whether you're going in there, stopping in for lunch. They've got breakfast. They've got lunch. You can get them to cater, or you can get all of your different meats and vegetables and so many different supplies there. It's Pete's Fine Meats. For decades, run by the same family, Pete's Fine Meats at Richmond and Chimney Rock. Stop in and tell them you heard about it from John and Lance on the Bench.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, let's go. Astro fan, you got any faith tonight? I was even Kenny Van Doren out there climbing Tell's Hill, our intern.
I'm not super confident.
Odorizzi. I mean, you win this game though, and you want to talk about a huge boost. You sweep the Dodgers with Odorizzi against Scherzer. Holy crap! Now we're having a party.
Do you think that Esteban?
I'm going to have some Coors Lights if that happens.
Esteban said this is like house money. You're playing with house money now.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because even if you lose to Scherzer, you'd be like, whatever. We got y'all once.
Yeah.
You didn't split us. We split you out. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'll be like that.
Yeah.
I don't care. And then if you win.
Oh, by the way.
Gosh.
By the way, what's your record against winning teams? Oh, it's 24-26, huh? Well, we're 43-26. So, yeah. So we're better. That's right. Against winning teams. And guess what you're going to play in the playoffs, Dodgers? Winning teams. Man, that lineup is good. It's just amazing that they're not better against better teams. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, they don't have any stones.
They don't. They don't have the nuts that the Astros have.
No. They haven't dropped yet. They might drop with Scherzer. Max Scherzer, all the videos I've seen of it, I didn't realize that he was that much of a hellion on the mound, where he literally will say, "You stupid, sorry, mother." Like,
right.
He's talking into his glove, and he's making himself mad at the hitter. He MFs himself in his own glove as he's yelling at the hitter from his own glove. Like, Max Scherzer turns himself into a bit of a lunatic on the mound. He is an angry. Have you seen all the Max Scherzer? You've probably seen it where he screamed at his manager to leave him in this year.
Yes.
Max Scherzer is a bit of a lunatic, and I didn't love. I definitely wanted him to end up with the Padres, not the Dodgers. And when it looked like he was going to be a Padre, I was like, cool, you know? I can get behind the Padres. That can be my National League team. That's fine. When he went to the Dodgers, it's like, bailout trade on the Trevor Bauer deal.
Yeah.
So hopefully Trevor Bauer doesn't come back now.
Well, and now there's the lawyers are going back and forth about, so the lawyers for Trevor Bauer releasing the texts, the lawyers for the female aren't too pleased with them doing that. They say the lawyers for the woman who was allegedly beaten by Trevor Bauer, they say that they're out of context, and they're claiming that it was consensual because she did respond, and it proves that the text proved that it was consensual.
Okay, consensual,
but not
right
to the extent.
Consensual doesn't. I don't feel like it matches up with the pictures we saw.
Yeah,
consensual BDSM, yes. Rough sex, all that stuff. I'm not sure that matches up with pictures that we saw that the police took.
The attorney for the woman said, "Mr. Bauer's defense team is deliberately twisting the tone of text messages exchanged with an assault victim within hours of her being attacked to try to minimize the long-lasting impact of her physical and mental well-being to this day. In case after case, the law is extraordinarily clear. Supposed consent of the victim is not a defense to assault and battery, especially when it results in bodily harm. But to be clear, this victim did not consent to be punched in her face, punched in her head, punched in her buttocks, or repeatedly punched in her hoo-ha."
Wow. So, oh, my gosh.
Well, he didn't use.
I imagine they used a different word, but we get the point.
Yeah, I don't like to say that word.
Understood.
The kids are going to school.
Are they? August 4th?
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe they're going to Jack Easterby's camp or something.
He has a camp for kids?
Yeah, he might have a camp. I don't know.
Camp Easterby. Everyone's got a camp these days.
Yeah.
Nick Casario's got a camp called Camp Casario. There's Camp Cully. There's Camp Easterby.
Are all the kids right. called? Are all the kids called this?
Jack Easterby. He's a busy bee.
Well, you know, he probably
they're
does
called
have a
the
camp.
Busy
bees.
He's
a busy the bee. Busy
bees. Yeah, the busy bees.
How'd you know?
Yeah.
Wild guess.
Okay. Honestly. I mean, 3-year, $102 million deal that he signed this offseason. And he didn't make it halfway through the season before he's done. I don't know. You know, right now, the Dodgers are paying him.
Oh, wait, are we talking about Deshaun or who are we talking about right now?
We're talking about Trevor Bauer.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Deshaun.
Trevor Bauer. Now, he's got criminal issues, he's facing possible criminal charge. He's facing a civil suit.
Well, he's got a Deshaun going on right now.
Yeah, well. It is a little, okay, which, because we've got so many people that are squarely behind Deshaun that they'll threaten a woman's life who talks about Deshaun and talks about her experience with Deshaun, that they're going to be they're going to threaten her life. And at Camp Cully, they're cheering for Deshaun. We want Deshaun. We want Deshaun. Which do you think teammates are more, I don't want to say receptive to, but which do you think they find less egregious, Deshaun or Bauer?
100% Deshaun.
Deshaun.
Yeah, not even close. Well, Deshaun is a likable guy. Deshaun's teammates all like him. Deshaun has been here from the beginning.
There was no violence involved. Well right. Okay, maybe a couple of the victims that,
well,
that
there was
feel
no
like
physical,
he forced them.
There was no physical violence. As
well, nobody walked away with any
injuries. Our definition of violence, there was no violence.
Yes.
Right, and our standard definition of that. But also, Bauer wasn't a lifelong Dodger. He just got here this year. Bauer's not really particularly liked around the league. Deshaun is liked around the league. This is the team he's been with. I mean, it's not even close. And those guys will say, okay, I'm sure a lot of the guys would say, have you seen, by the way, Charles James? He gets into it a lot with people on Twitter, and some of his stuff he probably just... Have you checked out Charles James's Twitter about Deshaun stuff or gay people or whatever? He goes out there and really doesn't care what you have to say. But no, I think Deshaun's teammates, a lot of them would say, dude, why are you so stupid going to Instagram? They might say stuff like that. But I think most of them would actually have his back. I don't think Dodgers are going to have Trevor Bauer's back. They don't know the guy. And yeah, there's footage. There's pictures of the girl who agreed to this consensual sex. What happened to her? It's not a good look.
Mm-hmm.
And I still wonder if there's going to be a number two that comes out or a number three that comes out where you have more than one. I still think there's time for somebody else to say, you know what? He did the same thing to me. We'll see if that, now to our knowledge, it has not come about yet.
And it's Deshaun's happened almost immediately. The mm-hmm. other alleged victims came forward.
Well, there
forward.
Was a question about, did Tony have a certain amount in the bag that he just released one at a time? But I don't think Tony Busby had 22 of them. I don't think that was the case. We had some come forward.
Yeah. Well, this is an indication that Trevor Bauer isn't a serial rough sex dude. I mean, maybe as a kid he was practicing on squirrels or whatever, having rough sex. But this is apparently the first time. Well, I don't know. That's
practiced on squirrels having rough. What did you just say?
Well, that's
did he say?
Doesn't a serial?
No,
allegedly, I guess it's out there. At least if you watch any movie, serial killers will practice on animals.
Well, they have that instinctually. They're cruel to animals.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right. 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 So we don't know that he had any.
So John is saying.
Well, we don't know this.
I think that his words were, okay, what did you say he said?
I will explain it. John
is saying. Can I get my gavel or will you just
you might want to. John is suggesting or saying if Trevor Bauer does this serially, like this is just something he does to women, that he may at some point had rough sex with a squirrel when he was young, and that would have been a precursor to what he's doing now.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's not because
there's
not
a serial. Yeah.
Yeah. But if he was, we could find squirrels who would have stories to tell, is what you're saying?
Well, yeah. Now, no one else has come forward, so we don't feel like.
Squirrels with a story to tell. What is happening to us?
Yeah, but no one else has come forward, so we don't know that there's any squirrels.
There is a squirrel who's come forward and said he survived the deadly attack by Bauer. Well, he would have come forward, but a squirrel's life cycle is about 6 years.
I don't, listen, I don't want to get reckless in this. So.
No, you're reckless jaw jacket is what you're doing.
Yeah, I don't want to get reckless in
this. Is this true? In California, you need consent to do anything. If you bring a girl home from the bar, all presumptions are out the window. You're legally obligated to ask if you can kiss them, touch them, grab them, start doing anything else. No BS.
I don't know about that.
That's from
Jackie
Daytona Jr.
I don't know.
I have no.
Well, if it's on Twitter, then it's got to be true. Yeah.
Jackie Daytona said it, so.
Jackie Daytona. Well, there's our source.
We're not going to find
it. We don't
him,
need
it.
Multiple sources on
no.
this.
No.
Yeah. We don't need Steph Stradley with her degree, law degree.
The law stuff. You know that
we
law
got
thing.
Twitter. Okay.
Nope. I'm not reading that, Cub Van Tim. about, no, I'm not even going to give it to Lance. I thought about mentioning some of his.
What? See, John, you started this. This is your fault, John.
I'm not even going to see. And I'm not even going to say the animal, because then it's just, it's not.
Just say Richard Gere.
That's all you have to say, Richard Gere. Yeah. Case closed. It's 929 on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5.
Richard Gere's like, hey, that's just a stupid old. That's a stupid
it's
old.
A rumor.
Not even a wives' tale. Like, one of those bad rumors that actually never happened.
Oh, you don't know that. It's 930 now, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. How about the Jalisco, the logo in the back that you see and during the game the Dodger, at Dodger Stadium, and they use the Dodgers logo? You see that?
Okay.
You didn't notice that?
No.
That's there's a tequila that they're was it Jalisco? I think it is.
Get in trouble doing that.
Yeah, no. Well, they're sponsors of the Dodgers, so the Dodgers let them use their. No, it's on a video board back there.
But
at
that
Dodger
lost
Stadium.
Again?
Yeah, this lost again is no good. LA, their logo with Aust and Gain, lost again. Lost again to another good team, Astros.
I know a bunch of you want to. I know all you T-shirt companies out there want to create that, but don't get sued for taking a Dodgers logo.
Yeah,
I'll just warn you, they will sue, especially Astros.
Yeah. So,
Cole Hamels signed with the Dodgers. Did you mention that?
So
they're just collecting, they're just hoarding pitchers.
Man, what is their payroll? $450 million now. Goodness gracious, they just buy. They don't care. They just spend and spend and spend, and they don't care. And they still suck against good teams. 23-26. You suck, Dodgers. You suck. That's a against good teams. That's the indicator. How are you? Are you lamb killer? Yeah, they're lamb killers. Great.
Well, he hasn't.
Congratulations. When you play the Diamondbacks in the postseason this year, it's going to be awesome for you.
Are you worried about them getting Cole Hamels? The guy basically pitched. He had one game pitch last year. He had 8.10 ERA. The year before, he was 7-7 with a 3.81. He's washed. Cole Hamels is washed. He's 37 years old. He's name, not game.
Yeah, he's not.
I'm not worried about him. It does show you, though, the Dodgers right now. I think the Dodgers are feeling some major heat, because this is supposed to be the year of the Dodgers. You have Bellinger, who can't break 200. You have a starting rotation now that's going to be without Trevor. You've had Kershaw injured. You are going to be without Trevor Bauer for the near term and maybe the long term. We'll see how that works out. You went out and gave up your whole minor league system for an aging pitcher and Max Scherzer and a future shortstop potentially, because you'll have Trey Turner. But Hamels is just an example of how they're just throwing more wood on the fire, hoping that something catches a blaze, because this is not the season the Dodgers were expecting. They're not bad, but the Giants are outperforming the Dodgers, and I don't feel like the Dodgers feel like their super team is coming together quite like they thought it would.
No, it's not. It's not nearly as good as they thought. And last night was a clear indication that they're just not. While they'll throw all the money in the world at everything,
When's the last time Cole Hamels had double digit wins?
Wow.
17. 11-6 with a 4.20 ERA.
He was one of the best pitchers in baseball for
a little while. His FIP was 4.62. His FIP has been over 4 since 2017.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think that They're just throwing everything against the wall and hoping something sticks. That's all. That's all they can do right now.
I feel for them. It's a class organization. It's an amazing fan base. I feel for the Dodgers.
Yeah, they're
no, hopefully they get classy. This thing worked out.
Classy. Yeah, they were so classy in the stands last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're 64-44. Like, they got the same record as the Milwaukee Brewers. The only team's better than them right now.
Yeah.
Legitimately, Tampa is tied with them. The White Sox are a little behind them. The Astros are ahead. I mean, the Dodgers are right there. I don't mean to say the Dodgers have a good baseball team, but it does feel like the Scherzer move, though, that was one where that move basically where they're giving away their minor league system in exchange for, you know, a good shortstop and a very good pitcher, but he is Scherzer's getting older now. Scherzer's not young.
Yeah, I know, but no, Scherzer's really good. I mean, that was a great move.
He's
just like
good.
The Astros picking up Verlander, that was a great move for them.
No,
great
it
move.
Is. It is.
And when Kershaw comes back and you got Buehler, I mean, they're going to that top 3 is going to be lethal in the postseason.
You know how old Max Scherzer is, right?
Now, that said, he's 37, 38.
37.
That said, they're 3 games under 500 against teams that are over 500, and they're 23 games over 500 against bad teams.
Lamb killers.
That's what they are. So,
who besides the Astros, who are the good teams against good competition? I'll go to MLB. You can find it in the standings at MLB.com.
The Astros are the best in the league.
I know they're the best in the league, but is there anyone else that's like the Astros that are killing
There's
it?
There's no one like the Astros.
Yeah. Boston.
What's their record?
Tampa's 38-31. Boston's 37-29. They both have winning records. There's no winning records in the AL Central. There's two in the AL East. In the AL West, there's actually two teams, Seattle and the Houston Astros. There's one team, the Mets, 23-21 in the NL East. In the NL Central, 22-21 is the best you get with Milwaukee. And then in the West, you've got Dodgers with the losing record, San Francisco with the winning record, and San Diego, 33-22. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. That's great. You know what, though? It ain't 43-25, now is it?
No.
No. No. So
the
you all
Astros
are looking up.
Astros have 68 of the Astros' 107 games have been, more than half of their games have been against teams with winning records. Compare that to 44 for the Mets. 44 of 106 games have been against winning records for the Mets. The Astros, 68 of 107. That is a ton of their games have been against teams with winning records. When do all the losers step up?
Yeah. Bunch of losers. Congratulations. You ain't the Astros.
What?
940 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 7378-0-3776 if you want to get in here. So we haven't even touched on the basketball news today. So let's quickly. Carmelo to the Lakers. Is that something that should be? I mean, can they get older? They picked up Dwight Howard. They picked up Carmelo Anthony. They picked up Russ. It's a bunch of names. It's a bunch of Cole Hamels, isn't it?
Yeah, the acquisitions that actually might help them, they picked up Malik Monk on a prove-it deal who shot the ball pretty well before he got hurt with Charlotte, and Kendrick Nunn, who's been a starter on a playoff team the last couple of years for Miami, another cheap deal. Those are guards for a team that doesn't have a lot of guard help, so that'll probably help them. But the other guys are just, oh, we know those names, and if it was 2009, great. But it's 2021, so.
They just look like they're doing, this is such a, we see this so often, team with aging superstars, they end up going with what they know, which is guys who are familiar with them, or the team will just go out and get more veterans because they're hoping that veteran moxie pulls them through in the playoffs, and that veteran experience. It's almost always a losing proposition.
Yeah.
It's so bad when you go old, when you decide, let's get older, it's almost always a loser. Carmelo Anthony. I mean, you really think by adding old Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, you are just getting older and older.
Do you like? Over there. Do you guys like what the Bulls getting? DeMar DeRozan.
I love the Bulls. Yeah,
Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan.
Sure,
they won't stop anybody, but they'll score.
And what about Zach LaVine? Does this help keep him, or does he help push him out?
Well, they have to win. Zach LaVine doesn't want to be a guy who is with the team who never wins. So this is all in anticipation of his upcoming free agency. Where, hey, Zach, we put a winner on the floor, and winner is relative. If they're a sixth seed, that might be enough for him to say, okay, there's progress.
And Alex Caruso, y'all forgot to mention him.
No, I didn't. I know he's there.
Yeah. He's a winner.
We didn't forget to mention him.
That's a championship.
We didn't think it was necessary.
Yeah. It's a championship player. But you know what? Is that a big three, as it were? Is that a good core? DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine.
The Bulls had to do, and Vucevic is there, too.
Yeah. And my kids are so hyped about the Bulls. They were so excited. That was all they could talk about last night. Did you see DeRozan's there too? They just got done getting Lonzo Ball. Now DeRozan? Oh my gosh, the Bulls are starting to build a powerhouse. And the Heat getting Kyle Lowry. Like, my kids are so hyped up for NBA free agency. But I think legitimately, so there's a prop bet out. It's -115 both sides. So it's even money both sides. 3.5 playoff seed for the Lakers. Will the Lakers be over 3.5, 4-8, or will they be under 1-3 in the Western Conference? That was a wager I saw yesterday.
1-3 or 4-8?
Over under, they made 3.5 for the Lakers. I took over.
You think they'll be 4-8 seed? Huh.
I don't think they're better. I'm not sure they're better than Utah. I'm not sure they're better than. What's going to be interesting is, does Dallas ever make a move with Luka? Luka's so good. Are they ever going to make a move? I do think the Nuggets are a problem moving forward. I think Utah continues to, you know, be a good regular season team. And I think the Suns are in position to be the next big team right now in the Western Conference. I think they're in really good position there.
Well, Jamal Murray's going to be out for quite a bit.
When did his injury pop?
It happened after the All-Star break. I think it happened in, March, April? He's going to be out for a while. You have the Clippers who are going to be without Kawhi for maybe the entire year.
But so you're going to have the Lakers resting people. There's going to be a lot of load management for the Lakers.
The team you're not talking about as far as knocking the Lakers down, I wouldn't talk about the Nuggets because no Jamal Murray, the Clippers with no Kawhi. It's can Klay Thompson stay healthy?
Oh, yeah.
So then
forgot
you have,
about that.
You have
the Warriors
with their top two guards back. Draymond, Andrew Wiggins actually had a pretty good year. That's the team you're talking about pushing one of those teams down. You have to look at if the Warriors can stay healthy.
And would they consider moving Wiseman for a veteran, you know, for a guy that maybe fit their team better now? But I don't know. Yeah, we shouldn't sleep on the Warriors.
No, and a bunch of people said that yesterday. You guys are leaving the Warriors out of this thing, and that's not a smart thing. 945 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5.
Oh, we come back.
713-780-3776.
There's a big fight. There was a big football fight yesterday.
Yeah.
A big camp fight, and one coach dog cussed his team and then went old school in his punishment. We'll tell you about that and what got him so pissed off in his practice. It's 9:45 right here on the bench.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We're just competing, and everyone's excited. First day of pads, get out there. We got to do a better job, controlling that and making sure we're controlled in our enthusiasm and excitement. There's consequences for that kind of stuff, and that's the way it is in a game. You know, if you lose, you're cool. There's consequences. That hurts the team. So that was the message, and I think everyone understands that.
That's Daniel Jones, quarterback for the New York Giants. So there was a big-ass scrap. The Ducks and the Itchy Onions yesterday had a big fight.
Oh, boy.
Can I randomly take stuff from Warrior and just put them into?
No, you can't.
What's people fighting? You can say one side's Ducks and one side's Itchy Onions.
You want to just say that without context, or did you want to explain it and then get in trouble?
Okay. So there's no, a show
don't,
called
don't
Warrior.
Don't explain it. Don't explain it, because that'll probably
get
you.
The creators of Banshee made another show with fighting and some sex.
A lot of fighting.
There's less sex in this one than Banshee.
That's true.
There's as much fighting, as much violence.
Definitely.
So anyway, the Giants got in. Maybe they're not called Ducks and Itchy Onions.
They're not,
I don't know.
No, it's just the Giants.
Okay, the New York Giants, offense and defense. They had a fight, a team fight. So this will happen sometime where it gets a little heated between offense and defense. What was unusual about this one is that Joe Judge, the head coach, who, by the way, is a yeller, and we heard that from Kelvin Benjamin, that he yells and screams and cusses. He's going to have a little bit of Bill O'Brien in him. Like, he is going to be – he's a very verbal coach. He went off on his team, and one of the reasons he was really pissed is that Daniel Jones was in the middle of the fight. And it's not like he just got jumped – Daniel Jones jumped in with his teammates because it was offense versus defense. What happened was running back or Evan Engram retaliated after a late hit to running back Corey Clement, and then safety Logan Ryan then came and leveled Engram from behind. Now, if you know anything about Evan Engram from fantasy football last year, he is brittle. He could have been broken into 14 pieces. Mm. So hopefully the MRIs will just say that Evan Engram is still in one piece and is not in a coma after being hit from the blind side by Logan Ryan. The rest of the team, including quarterback Daniel Jones, then jumped into the melee, which drew immediate ire from the coaching staff, and offense and defense were fighting. And so the coach got so pissed off, Joe Judge, that he broke it up, dog cussed them, then made them run sprints for the next 12 minutes, made them run the length of the field sprints. But, oh,
not only that,
and push-ups.
Lined them up. Do push-ups.
They did push-ups.
This is a pro team.
This is old school.
This is high school punishment. Yeah.
He was so pissed off. He's like, okay, then here's what we're going to do. We're going to start running until I get tired. And he hit him with the old, you're going to run till I get tired. Here, wasn't that the worst thing you could hear?
Ralph Vacciano said, there is dead silence except for Joe Judge's whistle and his expletives. So many expletives. He was, and now practice is mercifully over. Wow, I've never seen Joe Judge that angry. Actually, I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone that angry. Joe Judge was pissed.
He said Kenny Wiggins, an offensive lineman, pulled Daniel Jones out of the pile. And when asked why he got involved in the brawl, Jones said, I'm part of the team. What Corey Clement said was, hey, golly, I love it. At the same time, we don't want to get our quarterback hurt. Pretty sure Daniel knows that as well. I hope he thinks twice before jumping back in there. But then he was asked, did it earn us some additional credibility in that locker room? Yeah, ship. But he didn't say ship. Mm-hmm. He said, that's what you want to see, even though he's not supposed
ship.
He goes, yeah, that's what you want to see, even though he's not supposed to be doing that. Hats off to him, because you want to see a lot of guys do that. Jones said he wasn't injured in a fight, and the Giants needed to do a better job of controlling their temper, blah, blah, blah. But the players, to their credit, Logan Ryan said, I'm going to take my punishments. I don't regret anything I did out there. I was protecting my guys. At the end of the day, I'm a grown man.
Aren't they all your guys?
Going to pay my dues. But that really is the thing. There's an offensive side and a defensive side. Uh-huh. And I remember talking to Eric Winston about it one time. I mean, there is a click. There's an offensive click and a defensive click. And a lot of times, there's just not a lot of communication because you're with your own family. I mean, you cheer for each other. But he said, I'm a grown man. I'm going to pay my dues. That's what this is all about. Clement just said, it's football. Football's a great sport because even though you take some blows, it brings you together as a family, Clement said. It doesn't carry over. We all understand the nature for the game. You get hit, you get back up. If you don't want to be part of it, You can't cry about it. A hit is a hit. And then Logan Ryan also said, like I said, wasn't my first time part of a training camp fight. Wasn't my first lap. Wasn't my first F-bomb. My first push-up. He goes, I've been in there for quite some time. It's not necessary all the time, but I understand there's a lot of passion out there, and I'll take passion. So what you came to see, and I know also, James Bradbury was very positive about the experience as well. This is nice to see grown-ass men saying, I'm cool with it. You know, not like he didn't treat us like men.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was disciplining the team because the team did something stupid that could have got a quarterback hurt. Frankly, the quarterback did something stupid by even getting in the mix. But the quarterback, Daniel Jones, by all accounts, is a team first. Like, players really like Daniel Jones because he's got some Joe Burrow to him a little bit where you know he has your back. He's not one of those guys that is going to sit back passively.
Well, speaking of Joe Burrow, he's not having a good time of it. This was written about him the first day of pads up in Cincinnati.
Did somebody fight him there, one of his teammates?
It's just not good right now. Throws that felt like layups last year are dropping harmlessly away from receivers or easily broken up by multiple defenders. There might be a multitude of reasons for the struggles, but this has been ugly. At one point, pressure pushed into his face and Burrow lifted his leg into the air to almost avoid any accident with the close pocket. It makes you wonder if the knee is still in his head, but that's strictly guesswork. The bottom line is there's no way to say his play looks comfortable at this point, and this isn't at all what you've seen from Burrow, even in the early camp moments of last season.
Who wrote that?
It's an Athletic writer who covers the Bengals.
Oh, Athletic.
Well, and then there's...
I mean, the Athletic. Who is the writer? Do you know?
Let me
get
to that.
The Athletic's pretty... Huh? I tend to listen to the Athletic.
And then there's Trey Lance getting first-team reps.
Slaughtering it. And this is... And Kyle Shanahan's head say, hey,
hold on.
He's trying to calm everyone down. Like, Garoppolo's our starter. Garoppolo, he's like, well, let me just get a couple first team reps. I think the smart thing is Garoppolo. Roll with him the whole year if you can because you are.
Ooh, I don't think that'll happen.
You are legitimate serious.
No, unless they win and win big.
It's going to be tough because look at, I mean, they're Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
Well, Trey Lance, I don't know,
but you've got the ceiling for Trey Lance versus the ceiling
right,
for Garoppolo.
But is the ceiling there this year? Can he
I don't know. It was for Herbert last year.
Herbert played 3 years, four years as a starter at Oregon. This kid got 1 year as a starter in Division II.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's not Division II. FCS.
Yeah.
So I don't know that that's the same as Herbert, who, you know, Herbert had multiple years.
Well,
as a starter.
And then there's.
Well, this Burrow thing is kind of, that'd be a big concern for me.
Oh, yeah. If his knee isn't right.
If he's. Because I already don't think he has a big arm. Like, he has to be confident. He can't hang on to it too long. It's got to get out on time. He has some limitations. I've never considered his pocket to be one of them because he's so smart in the pocket. He's got mobility. If that knee is a concern to him, that would be a big worry to
Huge.
Me from the Bengals standpoint.
Huge. And then look what this comes at the show at the end. Big Philly wants to come back to the NFL.
He says he's not closing the door.
Yeah. Well, how about a late season return? How about Cole Hamels? How about
the NFL
Phillip
closing
Hamels?
The door on him?
Well, no. Listen, somebody gets hurt. Big Philly sitting there. Are you crazy?
Maybe we need.
How many yards did Big Philly throw for last year? 4,000?
Yeah.
I mean, it was the most labored 4,000 yards passing in history.
So? It was. Oh, did you ever throw? Did you ever throw for 4,000 in the NFL?
Yeah,
no.
Madden, I have. Yeah, I have.
Honestly.
I haven't met.
We should probably hear from Big Philly about a potential comeback.
Yeah.
All these crappy quarterbacks
tomorrow.
In camp right now.
Tomorrow. We're going to hear from
true.
Big Philly.
He's got to be
looking.
You don't
think that he considers himself better than half the starters in the league right now?
Definitely. You know
tomorrow.
What, you know what the Colts wouldn't say to Big Philly right now considering Wentz's issues?
Bye, bitch.
Well, we would say
they
that to
would
someone.
Or wouldn't.
They wouldn't.
See, you forced it.
No.
Didn't make sense.
No,
in
but you. I was going to say, but we would say that to
Bye,
Lance.
Bitch.
That's No, that's wow. what. That's what Jadika said to yesterday to Dipset.
Why are you pretending like you're in the culture and you watch
Jadika
that versus?
Jadika said it to Dipset.
You
yesterday.
Didn't watch that versus.
I watched a little snippet from Twitter.
Yeah. Did he drop an itchy onion on the show?
You yeah. heard him, right? I was like, what are you doing?
And also duck.
Stop.
I'm in the middle of season two.
Well, stop making references of
middle of season two.
To Warrior, particularly itchy onion.
Itchy onion. I don't think you should say that.
I don't
the
think
air.
You should
what about
either.
Ducks? Am I
Stop
allowed to say
calling
ducks?
No, people that.
You shouldn't be allowed to say ducks. Either,
you're
then.
A duck.
You're
I'm not,
you not
really a duck.
Yeah,
you're not allowed
are.
To say it.
I'm they would call like, you something else.
Yeah, I'm not. A, I'm
no,
not
you're
a duck.
It wouldn't be complimentary.
No,
he's
no,
a duck too.
I'm not a duck.
No, he would get a different name.
No. I'd have some kind of derogatory name.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Stop calling
you.
People.
You're a duck.
Stop.
You're the only duck here.
That's true.
Okay.
But don't call people that anymore. Don't call.
I'm more itchy onion than duck.
Don't. First off, stop the both of you. Don't call one side of the Giants roster ducks. Don't call the other side itchy onions. Don't, Lance.
Yeah.
Bye, bitch.
Shohei Ohtani's starting tonight.
Oh, no.
He's starting. No.
Let's get out.
Time to take a break. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.